We're known for being polite, so we give you a chance to talk too. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the Fan, going till 5 a.m. The warm-up show. Oh, wait, it's not Jerry, right? I was going to say with Alan Jerry. It's got to be CeeLo today because Jerry is in, where are they playing?
Do we have Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Jerry's in Chicago? Oh, man, that's right. The big game, Rutgers and Michigan at noon in the Big Ten tournament. So anyway, it's got to be Al and CeeLo today for the warm-up show. We'll take your calls the rest of the way. Been a fun show so far. I had Sean King on earlier. Talked to JJ, John Jastrzemski a little bit about Boeheim and some college hoops as well. You can check anything out that you might have missed on the free Odyssey app. 877-337-6666. Louis is calling from Somerset. Louis?
Sal, what's going on, my brother?
How are you, Louis?
I'm doing good. Good morning, my brother. So, Sal, right before, I believe it was the Giant, I don't remember what it was, but we spoke about over-under for what Daniel Jones was going to get. And, you know, you remember you said 35. I said it was going to be over 35. I thought it was going to be about 38. But I want to call myself out first on this one because what bothers me is that when I hear us fans calling and saying, well, this play is not worth this and this play is not worth that, who are we to say what that person feels as though that they're worth? Now, what I remember saying was that the season that he had didn't warrant a $45 million contract when I first heard that that's what he was looking for. But the problem is this. Daniel Jones is a product of the market. This is what the market. 5 years ago, Daniel Jones doesn't get $40 million a year. But we are in 2023. This was what it was negotiated. So this is what happened. And so my question to all of these Giants fans that are calling and saying that they overpaid and stuff like that, well, if we didn't get Danny Jones, who would we have gotten?
Well, that's why I'm not calling it an overpay. I don't think the issue is the contract. I just think it's that when you compare Daniel Jones to the other quarterbacks who are making similar money, he's not on that level yet. That's the problem.
I get you. Now, let me ask you a question, Sal. You take, all you do is remove the quarterbacks. You take Daniel Jones and you put him on that Cowboys team. Does he go further than what Dak went?
I don't think so. The other issue that you have, Lewis, is you got to remember, we've watched Daniel Jones for 4 years, right?
Yep.
Okay. Three of them weren't any good. I mean, his first year, rookie year with Shermer, he threw for a lot of touchdowns, but he was a turnover machine. So three of his 4 years, he wasn't very good for one reason or another. So all I know is the success that I've seen Daniel Jones have with Brian Daboll. Therefore, if I see him anywhere other than without Brian Daboll, I don't know what the hell he's going to be, and I can't trust him.
Now, the thing is this, Sal. It's tough to have three different offensive coordinators in 4 years. It's tough. It's tough to – so I get it. And the same thing how Daniel Jones was, you know, he was recruited late coming out of high school. I mean, the only school that really gave him a scholarship was Duke. You know, he was just a late bloomer. Now, how about if Daboll is teaching him not only how to just be a better quarterback, that if it just so happens that – he wasn't with Daboll anymore. He has learned how to be. The coaches that he's had and the offensive coordinators that he had, they haven't taught him how to be a winner. He's finally learning because he hasn't learned. He's learning how to be a winner. So now, this season is going to tell us a lot. Now, what I do like about the contract is that, you know, the Giants did protect themselves. So 2 years, if it's not working with them, you know, they can get out of that.
Right. So even that plays to the point that we still don't know what he is.
I wanted to call you yesterday because that's what my point was going to be, that, which was the Giants making that contract. I don't even think that they feel as though that they are 100% in on Jones. It's just that was just a circumstance, and they had to do something because they have to have they have to come in with a quarterback going in this year. It was their guy because you know he produced, but you see they 2 years just in case. So I don't even think that the Giants brass this brass is 100% in on Jones. Because if they were, then they would not be getting out of it after 2 years.
Right, and maybe could have been a longer term deal as well than just 4 years. If it's somebody you want,
because he's still young, he's only 25.
Right,
absolutely. Hey, Sal, man, you have a good night, my brother.
Thank you.
Always love talking to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you, Lou. We appreciate you checking in as always. That's the maybe biggest telltale sign. The idea that the Giants built the contract that they could get out of after 2 years tells you all you need to know about what we've seen from Daniel Jones. Doesn't mean he won't be great moving forward. It means right now we still don't know. It's almost like you have to throw out his first 3 years. Whether it's for, you know, him being young, the coaches, the coordinators, it doesn't matter. But you just throw out the first 3 years and you're going off of last year was year one. And the problem is that it's fine to evaluate starting from scratch after, you know, or before last year. Okay, last year's year one, fine. But you have to pay him after that year. That's the issue. Not that he's not worth it. Not that it's a horrible contract, but you're still evaluating him and you had to pay him as if you're not. You're paying him as if he's definitively your guy. Jim and Haverstraw. What's up, Jim?
Well, what up, Buttercup? How you doing?
How are you, Jim? Is it Haverstraw or Haverstraw? I get it wrong, I think, every day.
You do. It's Haverstraw.
Haverstraw. Okay, this time I did get it right.
Yeah, you usually do the Haverstraw.
All right. Haverstraw. I'll try to remember that, but I'll probably forget tomorrow.
You're good, bud. So, listen, the Daniel Jones, you're kind of spot on with everything. You know, you can go to the tapes with me. I've been on him since day one. I've loved him since day one, right? He was done a disservice with the, you know, all the, you know, the coaches going in and out. You know, no offensive line, right? You get a head coach who's quarterback sneaking on the four-yard line to get room for punting, right? It's a disaster.
All right.
So you get Dabo come in, right? He calls him out. A lot of people, it kind of messed up this past year because the game one, it's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're evaluating. And then by game like six, we already got the over on the Vegas line of games one, right? So it kind of went from like this evaluation period to, holy cow, we got to get receivers in here. You know, what are we doing? So the contract comes now, right? They don't pick up the year five option, right? And it's almost like this perfect storm where, again, you're right, like you just have to pay now, and then the market comes into play, right? So, you know, who are you basing off? Deshaun Watson, right? What is the equation? You do this, you do that, you put in a couple of sexual misconducts, and he gets $1 billion.
Well, that was just, that's the Browns screwing everybody over. I mean, there were a lot of teams in on Deshaun Watson. Only one would go to the lengths that Cleveland did.
Exactly, and that's, you know, the difference between the union and the management. That's all on, you know, the management, the owners.
And,
right?
And by the way, it's not about collusion, Jim, or trying to hold anybody back. It's about you can't. It's a stupid contract.
Absolutely. Well, it's creating a comp, right? So, I mean, I look at Kyler Murray. I put Daniel Jones up to Kyler Murray. They came in the same year. Murray was one. Daniel Jones was six, right? And if you look at their stats, they're not that far off, right? Yardage, the touchdowns, all that stuff. And you look at the numbers. But, you know, Sal, what I hate is I hear all these people who base everything on the stats but don't really know the substance of it. So I'll give you two scenarios, right? The Giants go four and out, right? They punt. They pin the other team inside the five, right? First play, and Thibodeau comes around the corner, sacks quarterback, he fumbles around the three-yard line, right? Daniel Jones throws a three-yard pass, dumps it in, right? That's a passing touchdown. The next time he goes out there at the 50-yard line, he fakes the pitch to Saquon, he makes it around the other side, and he runs 50 yards for a running touchdown. Now, you do that 10 times each side, and the people who are like, oh, man, see, he's got more throwing touchdowns than rushes. Rushes don't mean anything. It's like, yeah, but, man, you don't know how those touchdowns came about. You don't know what their game plan was. I mean, it was just like what you were saying before with Marco with the running, and I agree with you guys. You cannot take out the running plays. We don't really know, you know, during the year, and you kind of would have to ask the coach, because some of the running plays look like they were broken plays, but they're not, right? This guy needs to learn how to slide and get down. You cannot take the running game away from this guy, man.
No, but you have to. You have to have a balance, though, Jim. You can't run him into the ground.
Well, you can run him into the ground.
No, he's going to get hurt. You can't do that.
No, but he's got to learn how to not get hurt. You look at Patrick Mahomes, right? He runs 12, 13, 14 yards. He's out of bounds, you know, dancing on the sideline. Daniel Jones is staying
there. Right, but the difference is Mahomes scrambles. He's not design runs. Scrambling is much safer than these design runs where you're turning your quarterback into a running back.
So you're right. But all I'm saying is, but getting out of bounds, I don't care if it's a scramble or not. Daniel Jones is, and it's, you know, you're young, you're full of the team vinegar, right? You want to show your team, you want to put your head down, you know, you want to do all that stuff. So whether it's a scramble or a design, all I'm saying is, I watch some of these plays, man, where I'm like cringing and I'm like, no, man, like this, the contract, right? And this is what we're doing. This is evaluation. We're getting Saquon back. We're pretty much getting the team back. And what you guys were saying before is kind of funny, because I was going to call up and I was going to say his floor and his ceiling aren't defined. Like it's like you're in a house of mirrors, right? It's the ceiling, is floor, his floor is the ceiling, and this is what we're going on. But you know, I would have to say, looking at him, his temperament, knowing he comes from the Eli Manning side, all, you know, the camp, all this stuff, and it's a good risk right now for what they're in, and I'm excited, man.
Agreed. I don't know if I would say I'm excited, Jim, but I could understand why you are, and thank you for the call. Appreciate taking the time to call. It's a good risk. It was a move that they had to make. It's a no-brainer, but we're still evaluating Daniel Jones. If Joe Shane himself, or if we sit here and say, well, we don't know what the ceiling is yet on Daniel Jones, that's a good thing, but it also could be a, I don't know about bad thing, but it's also, there's a question mark there still. By year five, going into year five, you hope to have those questions answered. And we don't, for a litany of reasons. But there's room to grow. That's all. That's all we're saying. There's room to grow. And for the Giants to have success, the success that they want to have and the fans want them to have, he's going to have to grow. But it's not like, oh, yeah, DJ, he's the guy. He's the man. Danny Dimes, he's our man. It's not like we're definitively sold on what Daniel Jones is as a quarterback. The Giants themselves are not. We don't know yet. The good news is that there's room to grow. We don't know what the ceiling is. He hasn't reached his ceiling yet. Bad news is it's been 4 years.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The ball game is over, and Shea Stadium will close its doors for the final time this afternoon.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Things come to mind. Number one, what a depressing freaking day that was. Shea Stadium will close its doors for the final time. Really? Like this? No. A horrible ending. Why don't we get to play that and remind me of how bad that was in 2008? The other thing, I think of the promotional schedule that the Mets released, I guess, yesterday. And there will be a Howie Rose bobblehead on the schedule. I'm a sucker for the bobbleheads, although at this point, I'm kind of over it. Especially if it's they have a Lindor one that grows grass. I don't know. Wait, does it grow grass or is he growing his hair? I don't know. It's some kind of like chia pet thing for Lindor. It looks pretty cool. But like, I don't know. I like the old stuff. Anything 86 or, you know, 99, 2000, I guess, that I get nostalgic about. Those things I would be interested in. But it's pretty cool. They have an Edwin Diaz bobblehead. Yeah, that's cool. But the Howie Rose one, and I believe it's going to say put it in the books. And I say that because there's a stack of books next to Howie in this bobblehead. They say it's going to be a talking one like the ones that we have with John and Susan. That would be the one thing that I would care about. The
and
Howie.
And we're the sponsor for that. It's presented by Odyssey.
Really? The Howie one?
That's what it said on the Mets tweet with the graphic.
I didn't know that.
So you should be able to ask somebody for that.
Oh,
now,
wow.
I'll be there that day. I'll just make sure. It's a Wednesday in May. I'll just make sure that I'm at that game before I come here. I love the weekday ones because I always get to the weekday games like really early, like 5:15, 5:30 with my dad, and we just hang out. So we're always going to be among the first 15,000 fans on a weeknight.
Is it normal to have weeknight promotions?
No, the Mets haven't done this in forever.
Right. So I remember as a kid, I'm pretty sure I remember as a kid this used to be a thing. There would be promotions any night. Like it could be Tuesday
night. I was so pumped when I saw this today because coming here, I go to more weekday games than I do weekends. And then just seeing that most of these are going to be on the weeknights, like the Howie one, most of the ones I want, I was so thrilled when I saw this earlier.
So let me ask you something. Because to me, it seems like common sense, right? The bobbleheads could be a draw. We've seen them become draws or be draws in recent years. Promotions in general, promotional giveaways in general could be a draw. Why wouldn't the Mets have done this on weeknights?
I just chalk everything up with the Mets, too. The Wilpons did it. The Wilpons are idiots. And now the more and more that we have Steve Cohen kind of auditing what the franchise is doing, he's changing it back to the way that the way that makes more sense.
What could be there's got to be
a reason. The Mets were so bad for so long. It's like, well, if we're going to try to get people here, let's get them here on the weekends, maybe when people aren't working, and just take this as our one shot to we have nine appealing, you know, in 2013, 2012, all these years, the Mets were terrible. Well, how many draws do we have? We have the, whatever it is, 15 promotions plus opening day in the Subway Series. Maybe let's try to maximize the weekends. I don't know. I that's the most logical reason I can think of that they figured, let's just move all these to the weekends.
They have got some cool.
I want a lot of these. I want the Marte Black Panther bobblehead, the Mr. Met is Indiana Jones. Yeah, the Ghost Fork, glow-in-the-dark ball.
How cool is that?
The Buck Windbreaker.
100%
the basketball jersey, the football jersey. I don't want the soccer one.
Hockey. They are doing some cool promotional giveaways. This is the first time.
Oh, the Alonzo sunglasses, then the Scherzer two-tone sunglasses.
The Scherzer one, definitely got to get those.
Whatever the crossbody bag is, all right.
I got to wear them on TV, those Scherzer ones.
The Diaz bobblehead.
Yeah,
that's
going to
play the Narco song.
Oh, it's actually playing
the song?
Well, it says
trumpet bobblehead, so.
I thought he's just standing there with the trumpet, but I don't know if it's playing the song.
I hope it would play the song.
Well, either way, I definitely want to have. Put it this way. There are times, you know, Yankee fan, FM, whatever, you get excited about the promotional schedule. But this one, for whatever reason, hit me differently. It hit me the way that they used to when I was a kid. And that might be because there's so many of them and there's different actual, like, cool ones and weeknights. It's not just
even
like,
on the weekends. Like, I wasn't planning on going the first weekend of the year. I was going to go opening day, not go Saturday or Sunday. Now that Saturday, they're giving away a replica of Citi Field. I want that.
So it's not on opening day?
No, it's the second home game.
You know what used to be my favorite and my peak fandom going to games? The magnetic schedule from about 96.
Yeah, they don't do that. Sometimes they now do it at the end of the previous season because remember, now we get the schedule in August.
Right.
There have been years where they'll give away next year's schedule at a September game, but you're right. They should do that the entire opening series.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? It's an opening day. That was the best. I have all those somewhere. I don't know where the hell they are. I had them on one of my refrigerators. And then
you know how many of those we still have around here? The newsroom, people's offices.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Right. That's right. I don't have an office. But yeah, I had all those. I used to collect them all. I'd say from like 95 till about, maybe 2008, in fact. Maybe 2009 even. Whatever they stopped giving it. At some point, I think they stopped. But I used to love going to opening day and getting that opening day magnetic schedule. Come home, slap that thing right on the fridge.
My favorite as a kid was, two. Cap day, where you got a hat.
Right.
Either they would just give you one. And now they were never great hats, but they would give you one. Or you can trade in an older one for a newer one. And then the day they gave out the team pack of baseball cards. even though I would already have them, just getting one that was all Mets cards, I love that.
Boy, giveaways at a ballpark, it's so cool. I don't want to do it from an adult perspective, like an adult collector. I know people go nuts with the bobbleheads, like we were saying before. And I've done that, whether you're going to, I remember going to Kansas City to see the Yankees and Royals a few years back, George Brett bobblehead. So I liked those things. But from a kid's perspective, whatever it may be, the Alonzo sunglasses, the Kodai Senga ghost forkball, those, it's so cool when you go to, I remember as a little kid going to a Carvel giveaway baseball game, whatever it may be, just to have, I don't know, it was.
Did you get the
fun.
DeGrom or Syndergaard hat hair? Were fun a couple years ago because everybody was wearing them.
I didn't go to those, but I had them. That was down when I was down in the minors at OR, and they gave me those. So I got I used to get the hookup with some of the giveaways. So I have both the Syndergaard and DeGrom hat hair. Yeah, those are cool too.
For years, they would give away replica jerseys of players, which obviously weren't as good as the regular ones. But when you compare them for free to the $120, $150 for the replicas they were selling in the team store, they were worth it that way.
I like the idea that they're doing basketball, football, hockey jersey. I think that's a cool idea.
I want bobbleheads of or something of all the guys who are being inducted into the Mets Hall of Fame. Like Howie's on here. I guess Gary, they did last year.
See, a Hojo bobblehead, I'd be in on that because that's my wheelhouse, 86. 100% I'd be in on that. Who else is getting inducted? I forget. It's Hojo.
Al Leiter.
Oh, yeah, Al. Sit him down, Al. I would get a Leiter bobblehead, too. Another wheelhouse guy. The only complaint that I have, and we'll get back to your calls in a second here, but let me just enjoy this for the moment, please. 877-337-6666. The only issue that I have, I hate when they make it 15,000. It gives people anxiety. I don't want that stress. I don't want the big lines outside and having to worry about that. It should just be if you buy a ticket, you get the item. Now, the weeknight could throw the wrench in that because you're not going to expect 30,000 or whatever. What's the capacity at Citi Field? 40-something?
Yeah, with the standing room only, they go just over 40.
Okay, just over 40. All right, but the point is you wouldn't expect that on a Tuesday night for a Howie Rose bobblehead. On the weekends, it could get crazy. But I still don't like the limitations of it. Do at least like 25,000 or whatever you expect to sell. If you get to the ballpark in the third inning and you miss out, you're screwed. That's
it should be, if you're there before the first pitch, you should get whatever the giveaway is.
But they're doing it because they don't know how many they're going to sell. So we figure, all right, we're safe with 15,000.
Well, and also because the sponsors don't want to pay for making that many.
Yeah, you don't want to be stuck with 15,000 extra Howie Rose bobbleheads.
You know what I love that they did for a few years, and I wish they would bring back? Free Shirt Fridays. I had so many. I still have so many of those over the years.
Right, and what do you do with those?
I wear them to sleep. I mean, sometimes if they were really good design, I would just wear them here, wear them wherever. Some of them were really nice.
Yeah, I never got into the t-shirt thing. Even like if you get a t-shirt at the game, people go nuts. You could be at the garden, you could be in a ballpark. T-shirts! People, they're shooting them out of a cannon. Like nobody's ever had a t-shirt before. You got adults knocking kids over, trying to reach over the barrier to get this t-shirt. Then you open it up as a triple XL. You can't wear it anyway. It's a sponsored shirt. It's like, come on, it's uncomfortable. You wash it, it shrinks. It's not even 100% cotton. I don't know. I just never liked the free shirt giveaway. That's just me, though. But I do think they have excellent. They have the Yankees. Do they have a promotional schedule?
I don't know if they've released theirs for this year's yet, but they do giveaways, too.
I will say.
The ones that the Yankees always do that are so popular are like the Star Wars bobblehead nights.
You'll like this one. We'll end this conversation on this and then get back to the calls. Because I was trying to plan a trip. My wife has family in, I believe, Dallas. So, naturally, being the great husband that I am, I said, hey, honey, you know what would be a great idea? Let's go visit your family in Dallas. And I, of course, looked at the schedule and wanted to map out a Rangers and Astros trip because I haven't been to either of those ballparks. So, not only am I a great husband, I'm also trying to check the box on Texas and Houston. The Monday that the Mets play in Houston, I want to say it's Father's Day weekend, June 19th. If you go to, now that's Mets are in Houston that June 19th. If you go in Friday to Texas, I believe that Friday night is Jacob DeGrom bobblehead night. And I started to envision, all right, let's see if we can get down there that Friday. Maybe I could do a little video of me smashing that bobblehead. You know it's going to be fragile.
Create content for digital. There
exactly.
You go.
Exactly.
And I'm looking at it now. the Yankees promotional schedule for this year is awesome.
What do we got? Give me some.
So first of all, this is going to bother you because we just talked about it. The Mets don't have it. Opening weekend, not opening day, but the rest
of schedule.
It says calendar weekend, which I'm going to guess is a magnetic schedule. And I don't think, is it really just going to be a calendar for the whole year? In April and already January, February, and March are gone.
Oh.
I would think this means a Yankee, like a season calendar.
Yankee season calendar. Oh, man, I miss
that. After that, they have, in order, Tino bobblehead night, Star Wars night, Anthony Rizzo as the Mandalorian, a Yankee short sleeve hoodie night, beach towel, a Marvel superhero night, Derek Jeter, Captain America. Which is ridiculous because David Wright's Captain America.
But did they,
can we have our one thing?
I don't like that. No, the Mets fans can't. I don't like the mashup bobbles, personally.
All right, well, you have a couple of regular ones coming. Collectible Cup Day, Severino bobblehead, Nestor Cortez bobblehead, Military Appreciation, a Yankees camo cap, Oris Bear Mug Day, Cap Night, Bucky Dent bobblehead.
That's a cool one.
Baseball Card Pack Day, T-shirt Day, MLB Network Cap. I think the Mets are giving away one of those too. Lightweight Hoodie Night. And that's it for the giveaway.
Do they have any weeknights?
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Okay. All right, so there you go.
I think the Yankees have been doing the weeknights for years.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I just have no idea why the Mets wouldn't do it. That was fun. 877-337-6666. Stuart is calling from Brooklyn. Stuart?
All those giveaways. I was at Banner Day in 1967 on the field with the banner. And they were playing the cards.
And?
That my banner said the Mets are aces when playing cards.
Stuart, that's a great one. I love that.
Uh-huh.
Did you win?
No.
Okay.
Somebody else won. But that was cool. It was nice being on the field, you know?
Who came up with that one? Did you come up with that on your own?
Me. What do you think?
Okay, I don't know.
Of course, of course. And
I know Bob Huesel used to tell me about Banner Day all the time. It was not a thing when I was growing up. It was, I guess, phased out.
Look forward to that at the end of August.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really nice every year. And then they stopped doing it because, you know, I don't know why. And another time I remember, Abe Roseback behind home plate, July 9th, 1969.
What happened?
July 9th, 1969.
No, I want to hear you say it. What happened?
The franchise pitched a near-perfect game, and some guy named whatever it was, Jimmy Qualls, who we never heard of again, got a base hit to left center field.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Oh, give me a break.
I remember it well.
I was there.
Yeah, so was I
remember
actually.
It very well.
I was in the loge. Where were you sitting?
Behind the plate, 8 rows back.
Wow. Oh, yeah, that's right. You just told me that. Sorry. I was actually looking up. I'm lying. I was just filling time there, and I was not at that game. In fact, I wasn't even born. I was looking at the promotional schedule. Ooh! So the game that we were maybe thinking about going to?
Which one?
The August 11th, the Met game?
Yeah.
That's a fireworks night.
Oof. Oh.
I don't know if I got stuff going on. I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but boy, that is fireworks night against Atlanta Friday night.
That'd be good, right? We'd blow them away.
Yeah.
We'd blow them away. Oh, you want to talk about fireworks?
Yeah.
July 4th, 1971. I was living in Glen Oaks, Queens.
Yeah.
Me and the boys got together. We got a big, giant barrel, a real big barrel, and we filled it up with fireworks.
I think that's illegal.
We didn't give a damn. What do you think? We cared?
I mean, you don't obey the law?
No. Were you serious?
Yes, I am.
Let's get real. We filled it up with fireworks. We started the fireworks at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it went all the way to 3 o'clock the next morning.
And this would, of course, be nothing in compared to what you would do later in life.
Oh. But that was awesome. That was awesome. I should have gone for hours and hours.
Did you? You shot them off yourself, the fireworks?
Oh, the boy. We had a whole bunch of guys doing it.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch those things. I've always been afraid of fireworks.
What?
I've always been afraid of fireworks. I've never shot one off my life.
We had M-80s. We had launchers. We had things that launched in the air. We had M-80s. Oh, the M-80s were crazy, man. They blew everybody away.
Yeah, well, I know. They're dangerous.
What?
They're dangerous.
Back then, nobody cared.
Yeah, I mean,
I did not care.
Well, I guess so. And you live to tell about it. You have all the limbs intact?
Yeah, everything's intact.
Okay. Everything?
What?
Everything?
You're funny. Always funny, Kate. Daniel Jones.
You've heard some of the commercials. You need help?
Oh, yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, okay. But Daniel Jones, you know why he hasn't developed?
Why?
Simple fact is, how many coaches and offensive coordinators has he had in 3 or 4 years?
All right, so now Brian Daboll is here. He's got his one coach. He's been he was very good with Daboll, and now the hope is that he could take another step or two, and he's going to have to, but
well,
he's going to have to do it.
He can. I think he has the ability, sure, and he needed the right coach and the right coordinators around him, and he needs weapons, of course, but they can address that.
Yeah.
And the fact that they did sign the team-friendly contract, basically, because they made it so where the cap hit this year is like $19 million. And now they can retain Saquon on the franchise tag, and they can improve the team.
Correct. They're in the best case scenario spot, considering what could have happened. If Jones would have held out, then they had to put the franchise tag on him. They would have lost Saquon. Yeah, so they bring Saquon back, who's just as important to that offense as Jones. I know he doesn't play the important position, but he's just as important to Jones in that offense. Barkley is a difference maker for him. And
of
now
course.
They have some wiggle room to be able to operate and bring some players in.
Right, and I'm glad they got rid of Gallagher because that was a joke.
Well,
that
of course.
That was a total bust.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't. What did he do for the team?
Nothing.
But let's say this much. We can knock Gettleman, but there were a couple of players that he brought in that turned out to be good. But basically, he was a train wreck. And all I saw on the sports TV, the Giants and Dave Gettleman. All the time saying, the Giants and Dave Gettleman. What was that all about? He was nothing. The man did nothing except leave them in cap hell, and they have a long way to go. Before
he did draft Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and he also drafted Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, but that's a stupid pick to me. So
that
I'm not
was
gonna...
a dumb pick because they could have gotten a running back in the second round.
Yeah, and now they couldn't have gotten Barkley. I get that, but are you just in their spot? They should never take a running back.
No, never number two.
That high. Yeah, but Jones, I mean, you got to give Gettleman some credit, and thank you for the call, Stuart. Good to catch up with you. You got to give Gettleman some credit for drafting Daniel Jones. Gettleman's arrogance. It wasn't the worst thing that he did here. Obviously, there's a lot that he did wrong. But it was, that to me was the most unappealing thing about him. His arrogance. He just thought he was a gift from the gods for the Giants. And even now, after their success last year, you know, we saw it. He was taking bows. Not literally. Although I wouldn't be surprised. He might have, in fact, literally been taking bows. But last year, doing interviews afterward, oh, this is why I like these guys. Like, he's sitting back, smiling, see, I told you so. No, you didn't. You were awful. Somebody's got to let him know. Talk about self-awareness. I mean, the guy lacks self-awareness.
The Fan is better when you're part of it. Call The Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on The Fan. You don't need to find a pot of gold to strike it rich this March. Instead, win money on your tournament wagers with Superbook Sports. Superbook features the best team of odds makers in the business, so they're the safe bet when it comes to sports gambling. You have a direct line to their experienced staff behind the counter in Las Vegas. They also have one of the most extensive betting menus around, so no matter what you want to wager on come tournament time, Superbook is sure to have it. Download the Superbook app and start winning today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports talk problem? Call 877-337-6666. You know, I was just looking at Superbook, actually, trying to see what the Rutgers line was. And because I love Rutgers today over Michigan, I really think Rutgers is going to, you know, everybody's picking Michigan. I'm not pretending to know anything about it. I know a little about it, and I know enough to go against the public. Everybody's just like, oh, Michigan, Rutgers has been bad, Rutgers has been bad. Watch Rutgers defense, watch Pikel. I am betting on them. However, I went to the Superbook app, and I didn't realize that the game is not up, and it's probably not because you can't bet college in, or you can't bet on Rutgers in Jersey, right? Fleegs, do you know if that's a thing? You cannot bet on Rutgers in Jersey?
Correct.
Okay, so that's why the line's not up. I couldn't find it.
But you should be, because I will bet Rutgers from here.
Right. I'm using Superbook, which is only in Jersey. Oh,
okay.
So
I'll use another app. If I ever want to bet Rutgers or against them, I do it while I'm here.
Oh, okay. Right. So you can do it. You can bet. But that makes sense. You can't bet on them in Jersey. Anyway, I didn't really know that because I don't bet college a lot, but I was just looking to do it. If you find yourself able to go wager, bet on Rutgers today. I feel good about it. But don't hold me to it. Remember, I did predict the Mets would win the NL East. 877-337-6666. Chris is calling from Beacon. Good morning, Chris.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. You know that song?
No.
I don't know. It was actually, I don't know what song it is, but I know I heard it in a movie. Well,
what movie?
I don't know. I heard that somebody referenced that movie. Oh. What movie was that?
No idea.
I don't know. I could do the Adam Sandler one with, what movie was that with that guy when Dolph was in there? He goes, Piano Dan. He's calling Piano Dan.
I don't know. I don't even remember.
I don't know either. All right. So it's good to follow Stewart. I love when he talks sports.
Stewart is funny. He's the best.
Hey, Stewart, I know you're listening. I'm going to make sure I make that Riri connection for you. I got a Cardi B girl, too, for him. So.
Well, hold on a second. Cardi B and Riri girls? What's going on here?
My wife's got a lot. She got a lot of hot friends, man. I told you this already. So.
You know I'm newly divorced, actually.
You got divorced?
Yeah, I'm newly divorced.
You being serious?
Yeah, I mean, no, not really, actually.
No. Don't go that way. You don't want to be single, Sal. I told you.
In that moment, when you said you got a Riri girl and a Cardi B girl, in that moment, I was divorced.
Do you sure your wife don't play the Back to Odyssey app?
100% not. 100%. You think I'd talk like this if my wife were listening? Are you out of your mind?
You know, she don't get up early. Maybe the baby wakes up,
no chance. If she wakes up early, that's what she does. She wakes up and goes to flip on the Odyssey app. I mean, the free Odyssey app. My mother, yes. My wife, no.
Oh, God. So how long have you been married for?
I actually don't know. 2017. So to 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 6 years. It'll be 6 years in May.
All right, so I don't wish it to nobody. I love you, but I'm not going to wish it on you. But over, under 10 years.
Oh, come on. Over.
Hopefully.
Yeah, on the record or off the record?
Off the record.
Yeah, I can't say that on the air.
Oh, man.
If she ever heard this, I'm toast. Are you kidding me?
No, yeah, I got the Riri. I got the Cardi B girl. It's a lot of girls. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, what's your sports point? Come on.
I'll get to the... very quickly on the Jets before you let me go. But with the Giants, look, as a huge Giant fan that I am not, I'm going to throw this at you, Sal, and don't be surprised. I think this is a good deal. You know why? Because Daniel Jones sucks.
Oh, man. You know
what? I like it, you know, but...
You hate Daniel Jones as much as Brett on Long Island loves Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and I don't know. Did you hear from him since his deal? Because I'm here. Giant fans are losing. I'm about to delete the Twitter thing already because I have too many people that are Giant fans on here, especially in the station. And, you know, they were losing their mind. They were in Shane We Trust and all. First of all, Shane was not trying to give him this money. This is ownership. John Mara supposedly took over negotiations and he wants Daniel Jones and he was not going to let him go. Now, I was wondering how they did with Lamar, you know, as far as that non-exclusive tag, see someone offer some money. But I guess you can't do that in the regular tag. I guess they had it. I don't think you have those. I don't think two options where they could tag Saquon Barkley and then give a non-exclusive to Daniel Jones. I don't know if they were able to do that.
No, they just won.
Yeah, that's the thing. They couldn't even do that. But I think they would have did that and said, listen, go see what you're worth out there and come back. We'll match it. We'll match your $25 million that someone's going to offer you. Because there's nobody that would have gave him this money. And to me, it's embarrassing that they gave him this. And I don't know what that's going to set Burrow. Burrow's going to get like $60 million because they can't give Burrow $45 million.
Oh, no, no way.
Daniel Jones got $40 million a year, but look, Sal.
The difference, though, could be guaranteed money. You know, like Mahomes is getting $45 million a year, but he's getting $450 million bucks, and I'm sure a large portion of that's guaranteed.
And Sal, before I get to the Jets, real quick, I'm going to finish it with this because I'm done with this whole Daniel Jones thing. But the fact that you have Giant fans right saying, well, if it doesn't work out, we can get out of this in 2 years. You just signed a guy for 4 years that you believe is your franchise guy. You're ready to talk about now? If it don't work out, we can escape in 2 years? Like, this, if you give someone $40 million a year, you're believing you have for 4 years and maybe beyond that. But you're ready to talk about, well, maybe we can get out of this in 2 years if it doesn't work out. That means you're not still not confident that he's your guy.
Correct. That's part of the point. That's the bigger picture that we're trying to make.
But he got pizzazzed, and I can't call him Daniel Shortchange no more because he's diving like Scrooge McDuck into the pot of gold. So, you know what? He got his money, and I'm not going to hate on a guy getting his money, but he's not worth that. And Giant fans will be, you know, this time, you know, we'll talk in this.
And Giant fans
are going to lose it.
And you wasted all your time. I'm sorry. You got to get back to us, Chris. You wasted all your time. We got to get an update in here. I got a lot of calls online. You went on and on and on. You said you weren't going to talk about Daniel Jones anymore, and you just kept going on and on and on. First, you started with Riri and Cardi B. Your time has expired here. I mean, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you taking the time to call, as always. But your time has expired. Raymond is calling from Monroe, Georgia. What's up, Raymond?
Hey, Sal. Good morning.
Good morning, Raymond. How are you?
I didn't want to talk about Riri and Cardi B, but you going to see Beyonce?
No, I'm not. Although, you know what? Maybe I should. When is she's going to be around here or what?
Yeah, but you're going to have to put up your SNY check and your FAN check to go.
These concerts are out of control. My wife would probably love to go see Beyonce. I got to look into that. Do you know when the dates are? You're in Georgia. Well, how do you know when she's coming to New York?
Well, I'm pretty sure if she's coming here, she's going to be at Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta. And the tickets are like $1,000.
It's unbelievable. Concert ticket prices have gone through the roof.
Yeah, I remember I went to go see Rick James back in the 80s. I only paid $20.
That's it?
And
that's a hell of a price. Future.
Yeah, that's what it was back then.
Rick James, that's 81. A hell of a price. Yeah.
Man. So, get to the sports. I just wanted to talk about the running quarterbacks you were talking about.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you were saying that, you know, the quarterbacks are not made to run, and that's true. Because back in the 70s, there was a more emphasis on the running back, which is now an endangered species.
Right.
And, you know, there was a quarterback on Chicago named Bobby Douglas, and everybody said he was crazy because he was a running quarterback. That's how rare was that quarterbacks ran back in those days.
Well,
so I was just, you know, making a point on that.
No, it was different, obviously, Raymond, a different time, and thank you for the call. Appreciate you checking in. It was different back then. Now, almost every quarterback has either the ability to be a runner or great mobility. And if you are a pocket passer, it's like you're a dinosaur and you're useless. And this is going back to even, let's say, here in New York with Eli, where the Giant fans, for a guy who won 2 Super Bowls, they couldn't wait to get him out of town because he couldn't move. That's a huge part of it. Where you're watching highlights of guys around the league run all over the place, and the Giants have a statue in Eli Manning, who, by the way, in that statue is holding up 2 Super Bowl trophies. But it's just because he can't move, you want him out of there. And I think that's ridiculous. There's still plenty of room for pocket passers to succeed. Now, ideally, you'd like some mobility to where, you know, Eli couldn't even scramble. You want somebody that could at least scramble. But it's totally different the way the position has evolved to where now you have guys that thrive running the football. Some are runners first. Daniel Jones was more of a runner last year than he is a passer.